Today we are taking a look at a hymn that is associated with the festival of St. Michael and All Angels. The text of this hymn was put together in the Latin language by a very remarkable and important individual in the history of the Lutheran Church, and also in the history of all of Western civilization, and that was Philip Melanchthon. His name is associated with both the great movements that were happening in his time, both the Renaissance and the Reformation. He was a passionate proponent of the Renaissance, the great revival of art and literature based on models provided by the ancient Greeks and Romans, especially the literature aspect of the Renaissance. So passionate was he about the revival of the study of the ancient writers that he changed his name by translating it from German into Greek. His name was Philip Schwarzerd, which means black earth, and so he translated it to Philip Melanchthon, which means black earth. In the year 1518, Melanchthon arrived at the relatively new University of Wittenberg in the area of Germany known as Saxony. And his arrival there occurred just the year after Dr. Martin Luther had unwittingly set into motion the forces which would come to be known as the Lutheran Reformation. Melanchthon was 21 years old when he arrived at the university. The remarkable thing was that he did not join the student body. He joined the faculty. At the ripe old age of 21, he became a colleague of Dr. Martin Luther on the faculty. In German, you would call him ein Wunderkind, a prodigy. He was an individual with an extraordinary capacity to learn languages, especially the languages of what we call the classical world, Greek and Latin and Hebrew. Melanchthon, perhaps more so than anyone else in his time, participated in both the great movements that were going on in the 16th century, Renaissance humanism and the Reformation of the Church. As a Renaissance humanist, Melanchthon studied Greek and Latin literature of the ancient world with a passion. And he developed the ability not only to read the ancient writers, but also to write in their languages, and not only to write prose, but also to write poetry. He also, of course, made an enormous contribution to the Lutheran Reformation. In 1530, he became the author of the foundational confession of the Lutheran Church, the Augsburg Confession, and then followed that up with a lengthy scholarly defense of the Augsburg Confession, which also came to be numbered among the confessions of the Lutheran Church. And he also had a big impact on the field of education. His influence as a reformer of education in his time was so great that he received the honorary title Praeceptor Germaniae, which means the teacher of Germany. While confessional Lutherans today lament the problems into which Melanchthon fell after Luther's death, nevertheless, we recognize him as one of the theological and intellectual giants of his time and in all of Western civilization. Melanchthon wrote many hymns and poems, but unlike the hymns of Dr. Martin Luther, which became very popular among the common people, few of Melanchthon's hymns are known in the church today, and that is because they were written in Latin and few were ever translated into the everyday languages of the people of Europe. But today we are attempting to revive a Melanchthon hymn following the style in which he wrote it. This translation was recently called to my attention, and we got permission from the translator to use it here today. Melanchthon wrote this hymn using a poetic style which he had learned from studying the ancient writers. The meter of the Latin text is what's called a sapphic meter. It can be traced all the way back to the 7th century B.C. to the Greek poet, a remarkable woman by the name of Sappho. Sapphic meter works in four-line verses. The first three lines have 11 syllables in them, subdivided into five-syllable and six-syllable half-lines, and the fourth line has five syllables. This creates an interesting rhythmic pattern. dicimus gratis tibi summa rerum conditor gnato tua quad ministros, and so forth. And the translator has preserved that rhythmic pattern in the translation. Thanks unto thee, O highest Lord Creator, for we for thy faithful ministers now render. What a remarkable coming together here we have of the of strands we have here. In the best tradition of the Renaissance, Melanchthon wrote a hymn modeled in form after an ancient Greek metric pattern. He wrote in the Latin language, and he wrote to celebrate a biblical teaching, the doctrine of the holy angels. In this hymn, Renaissance and Reformation come together and embrace. Listen to the singing of the first verse in Latin, and then join, please, in the singing of verses 1 through 4 in the English translation provided. In the next verses, the mood changes, and we are confronted with the dreadful reality of Satan, the fallen angel, and all his demonic purposes. These verses paraphrase a part of the content of the book of Revelation, chapter 12. It's a grim picture presented here. The power of the evil one is great, and it is real. His successes are obvious all around us. He spreads wickedness and death across the face of God's creation. His purpose is to destroy and tear down homes and families, churches, nations and their governments, anything rooted in the word and institution of God. These things are the targets of Satan. His blind and burning rage against God knows no bound. Without the power of Christ and his companions, the holy angels, to serve us in our need, we would be helpless against the evil one. Please listen to the singing of verse 5 in Latin and sing verses 5 through 7 in English. Now come the biblical examples that show us that the victories of Satan are not permanent. They're not the final word. Our eyes are opened by the revelation that comes from Scripture so that we can see and understand, as did Elisha of old, that those who are with us are more and are mightier than those who are with the forces of the evil one. The angels of God curb and fend off the weapons of Satan, and so we join in this little celebration of this gracious revelation of God concerning the holy angels. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hand they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. It is a message of comfort for those who cling in faith to the promise of the forgiveness of sins and resurrection to eternal life through the life, death, and resurrection of the Son of God in human flesh. It is the will of God to serve you in your many needs through his holy angels. It is fitting that we should thank and praise God also for this teaching of Holy Scripture. Let us pray the collect for Saint Michael. O everlasting God, you have ordained and constituted the services of angels and men in a wonderful way. Mercifully grant that as your holy angels always serve you in heaven, so by your appointment they may also help and defend us here on earth. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. This last melody that we are employing may be a bit unfamiliar and challenging, but listen again to the Latin of verse 8, and then join in verses, the last verses, 8 through 11. If you like to have the music before you, it's number 567 in the hymn book. Go now in peace and in the protection of the holy angels. Amen.